I'm Tukettalo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Welcome to What Would Save the World. Today, I'm going to be talking about a bunch of shit. I'm going to be talking about how this week there is the inauguration of our reptilian slave leader named Donald Trump. Today is going to be sort of a goofy episode, but also we're going to get into some serious stuff. I have Peter, what is your last name going to be?
Solar.
Peter, yeah. Solar on the radio right now. And Peter Solar, I don't even know how I know Peter Solar. I know Peter Solar from getting drunk in bars with Stalinists.
Yeah, Maoists, old Occupy people.
Occupoop your mom's face. Yeah, we're going to talk about what's going on with politics and what's going on with trying to get rid of politics. We're going to talk about how everybody's a fucking Bernie bro these days.
Seriously, like, it's like everyone you talk to is just all about Bernie Sanders right now. As, like, he didn't fucking, like, lose the nomination. He didn't even get the nomination, like, and they obsessed.
It's like when people want to talk about McGovern. But, like, Bernie Sanders didn't even, like, win the primaries. And, like, you know, like, it's like these people, man. These people who want to not have a leader. Like, that's what I always think is so funny. Like, okay, so, like, you know how there's, like, all of this, like, stuff, like, this ideology that comes from what's seen as, like, a very, like, sort of, like, Powerpuff Girls liberal ideology?
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, and I feel like there's that part. Where it's like the whole nonviolence. There's that part. But then there is also this part of like, no leaders.
Yeah, no leaders. It should be everyone's a leader so that like if someone gets clapped or some shit, that then you have other people to take up the reins of stuff.
Like,
You need leaders. Everyone needs to step up. That's the point.
Yeah, I don't know if we need leaders necessarily. I think we can be collectivists about it and be like, support individuals through collectivism. But what I'm saying is I think it's really funny when people are like, no leaders, but Bernie Sanders, man. Bernie Sanders. You know,
That's what happened. You had anarchists for Bernie Sanders, like legitimately.
I am an anarchist, and I was for Bernie Sanders, but I wasn't like, Bernie Sanders is our savior. So, I probably felt that way for a little. I mean, I really wanted Bernie to win. Like, I'm still like, oh my God, why didn't he win?
Yeah, he's better than Donald Trump. Like, I tried to vote for Bernie, actually.
Bernie!
I switched my registration from independent to Democrat just to vote for Bernie, but they wouldn't let me because I was already an independent.
They already knew you were an anarchist, man. Yeah, we can't let those anarchists vote for Bernie.
Yeah, I was purged with over 100,000 people. It was ridiculous.
We can't let those anarchists vote for Bernie. They'll regulate our religion.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, we should have had Bernie Sanders.
We should have had Bernie
now
Bernie Sanders.
Now we have this fucking fascist, fucking scumlord piece of shit. Like,
and we could have, we could have Hillary.
But now we got to come up with new ways to actually survive under this shit. And that involves not obsessing over Bernie fucking Sanders anymore. Like,
Bernie Sanders endorses my revolution.
Like, dude, it's just a stupid nonprofit. That's none of that money is none of that money's gonna go to us. Like, George Soros never gave us any fucking paychecks. Like,
but what about my causes? What if my causes do well under capitalism? Who are you to tell me my causes aren't worthy of capitalist funding?
Exactly. Like, no, they believe in bullshit. They believe in just like social justice in some vague fucking sense. So,
is it vague though?
I mean, no. There's people that do actual work that actually want to build away from the system and, you know, like live collectively, live communally. And then there's people that just view it's like, oh, this is just a fucking gig. Like, I don't really give a fuck about it. I'm just gonna get my Bernie Sanders T-shirt. You know, I'm going to wear my safety pin and I'm going to fucking march around like, oh, I know what's best for like marginalized people or like people who are struggling or like people just trying to fucking escape from this shit.
Do you think a lot of people march though because they're trying to figure out how to support? Like, see, like if I go to something like that, like I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't know what's fucking best for you, but I want your voice for what you think is best for you to be heard.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I think.
I think everybody's voice needs to be heard. And, like, especially those at the bottom
except
of the...
Except for the white male Bernie bros,
except
man.
For them, because they fucking
except for the white male Bernie bros, bro!
Like, Bernie Sanders was talking about, like, Occupy Wall Street-level shit when we were already well into, like, Black Lives Matter, like, fuck the state, fuck white supremacy.
You think Black Lives Matter is going to hit the government in, like, 20 years when, like, now we're like, Islam, like, Islamic people are in camps?
Yeah, and then
they're going to be like, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, no, there's going to be some type of, like, you know, Michelle Alexander or, like, Elisa Garza-type person running for office for president, a black woman who's going to be talking about this stuff. It's all just going to be Bernie. It's just going to be watered-down Bernie bro shit like it always is. Because that's how it always fucking works.
I think if Michelle Alexander actually ran for president...
If Michelle Alexander ran for president, I'd campaign for it. Let's be honest.
I think if Michelle Alexander ran for president... I think I would have to stop doing this show because, you know, so by the way, yeah, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'd be like, what would save the world? Michelle Alexander's the fucking president.
Yeah, all no, right, exactly.
Like,
all right, seriously.
Like, I'm going to hang up my little, like, my purse made of kale chips. Let me use
a better example. So, like, the people that are leading the Women's March on Saturday, they actually had to bring in Justice League NYC, this, like, fake grassroots, like, NGO-funded organization.
What's NGO?
Non-governmental organization, like a non-profit. So, like, Amnesty International, Human Rights Campaign, like, mm-hmm. that type of stuff, you know? So
the
Women's March was so white that they actually had to request Justice League to come in, and they brought, like, three token people, women of color. One of them is Linda Sansour, you know, she was infamous for outing, like, radical Black Lives Matter activists during the December 2014 protests.
Outing them?
Yeah. She met with Mayor de Blasio and said that we'd help inform at her protests on activists who got too rowdy or out of hand or said rhetoric that was unfavorable, you know? Like saying, like, FTP or some shit like that. That's considered, like, offensive, militant, out of hand. But, like... Come on, everyone was saying fuck the police, even in Occupy.
So are you not going to the Women's March?
No, I'm going to go to a Women's March because they called for, like, a radical, like, femme and queer bloc. So I think the Women's March is actually going to be really diverse because of all they've had, like, they started planning this thing right after Trump got elected, and they've had about 3 months to fucking really, like, get the nuts and bolts out of it. So
yeah,
I think
the
Women's March is going to be the most, like, Occupy-like event, I think.
I mean, there's a lot of things going to be. I mean, I want to go to this. Apparently there's going to be this Theater of the Oppressed workshop on Sunday mm-hmm. that I want to go to. I think there's going to be a lot of things going on down there.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to be the Women's March. Like, I'm going for, like, a couple days. But, I mean, I think that the Women's March sounds like it's going to be, like, who gives a fuck who's actually organizing it?
Yeah, no.
On, like, who's
the point being is that, but under such a broad thing, it was going to be mainly white feminist Hillary Clinton supporters and, like, women of color and, like, all the Black Lives Matter crowd would have been drowned out. And they've been doing this shit just as, you know, they had their same moments that everybody had all throughout these struggles for the past, like, 6 years, you know? And it just seems kind of sad that they don't really get a space to really express themselves and talk about what they want to talk about and protest what they want to protest.
I mean, you don't think there's going to be a ton of Black Lives Matter rhetoric at the protest?
Well, here, another problem I got with the Women's March is you're going to have a lot of these Bernie bros who were really, like, hyper-masculine and misogynistic during the campaign. They're going to be going to the Women's March and be like, oh, I support my Hillary supporter. I support women. These white male fucking bearded hipster douche bros.
I mean,
like,
let's not pretend right. I was mad hateful on Hillary before she was the nominee.
Yeah.
So I feel like a little hypocritical when I say, but when she was the nominee, I was like, guys, suck it up. It's happening. But what? And then, I mean, that's like, I was like, just like, yeah. if there's going to be a president, there's going to be, like, that's the thing people don't understand. Like,
yeah, we don't control that fucking lever.
So,
like,
for people listening at home who never know what the hell I'm talking about, because, like, you have lives and you're not just, like, obsessed with, like, weird little anarcho theories. I totally have anarchist OCD. You know how there's, like,
don't we all?
So anarchism, you know, is about there being no leaders. It's about, to me, it's about, like, breaking down classism, oppression, but then everything has to be voluntary. And if enough people are voting in some way, yes, they are volunteering to be part of the government or the government that exists to exist. So it's like, it's kind of like fucked up. It's like, oh, people are going to volunteer. Like, if enough people are going to volunteer, it's like, should I volunteer too to make sure something like Trump doesn't happen? Do you know? Like, what do you think of that?
No, yeah, I was one of those people that just sat it out. I mean, I was fucking sharing memes and making fun of both Hillary and Trump online and just doing that. I didn't take it too seriously. And then, Trump got elected, and we were in the bar, like, counting the electoral votes as the polls were coming in. And we did the math, and we realized Hillary wasn't going to win. So we just organized an action right outside Trump Tower before the results were even, like, formally called in. Like, I always took Trump seriously, but I never really thought I thought naively Hillary was going to win. I thought she had it in the bag because Trump was just so ridiculous. But I guess I misunderstood how racist and sexist and horrible this fucking country is.
It's Black Lives Matter's fault. I hate when people say that. No. I hate when people say that. Oh my God. People say that all the time. And some of my Bernie bro types are the types that say shit like that.
Yeah.
They're like these, like, I mean, I don't even know. Like these Bernie bro. Okay. Like, you know what's, like, fucking sad? Like, Bernie Sanders is going to be, like, Ron Paul. Like, right now, like, we still have motherfuckers. If I Google people on the internet right now, like, I bet I can find someone, like, who wants Ron Paul for 2020. You know, like, there are people who, like, never gave up on that shit. There are going to be people who are, like, in, like, 2024, I'll be like, Bernie Sanders, like, he's dead.
Yeah, Bernie's Bernie's corpse for president 2024.
I hope that Bernie doesn't. Oh my God, yes. Here it is. Oh my God, wait, where is it? Oh no, it's like about a book. Man, but I do feel like, can a Hillary victory give rise to the next Ron Paul? This is an article I just found out online. The website called libertyhangout.org. Oh, I actually kind of dig this website a little bit. Promoting peace, prosperity, and voluntarism. Voluntarism. Since 2015. It's like last. It's like, being a libertarian around election time has its ups and downs. On the positive side, an election is the only time when people actually care what about libertarians have to say. On the other hand, being a third party means we have to listen to cries of supporting your teammates means the bad team will win the bad team, be the Democrats or Republicans, depending on who you're talking to. Oh, man. Then it has, like, if Trump wins. This is where it gets into, like, almost Bernie bro territory. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, these guys are, they're like, oh, well, Trump is just as bad as Hillary. I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah,
like,
no.
It'll look like as a failure. This is particularly bad because Trump is seen as a true outsider. The country will collectively blame Trump himself. This will lead to a resurgence of the establishment candidates. This will also lead people to generally be gun-shy about supporting newcomers and outsiders. The Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders type will have a harder time getting elected after Trump president. Trump president will not make, only make things worse during his first. So that's bad.
Basically, we had two choices. Like, we continue 8 more years of Obama under this neoliberal capitalist bullshit, or we did fascism. Or, like, and that's what Trump really is. Like, He's a neo-reactionary, man. Like, it's, we had choice between, like, arsenic and lead, and, like, obviously one is more poisonous than the other. Like, Trump's policies are explicitly fucking, like,
they think that Hillary would have created a movement, a dissatisfaction with big government, thus more people seeking out libertarian solutions in 2020. I actually agree with your thesis, bro! your thesis was good! But you kind of fucked up, and you probably, like, sucked Rand Paul's dick.
We keep obsessing over these personalities, and it's just, we gotta build away from that. We gotta figure out how to support each other here and now. And, yeah, like, elections do matter, you know? Now we have a fucking goon for president, right, who's gonna be in charge of, like, nuclear missiles.
We have
missiles.
A fucking goon for president. Yeah. We have some fucking, like, we have some fucking, like, Bernie bros who probably made it harder for us to get the better option. But and their rhetoric's going to be is harmful in many other ways than just that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, these, like, Bernie bro types, like, I can be like, oh, man, they're the reason Hillary didn't win, and now they're going to be the debate. Yeah. The problem is they, like, martyr themselves and, like, want themselves to be paid attention to.
Yeah, no, it goes into the male ego. It's all about, like, a lot of these are just white white men, kind of like alternative people who saw something in Bernie Sanders because he was different, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like their whole critique of like Hillary losing and like, oh, Bernie would have did this, that, or the other thing. It's just unfounded. It's like the hatred of Hillary Clinton from like this particular brand of Bernie Sanders supporter
is sexism.
Yeah, it's very sexist.
It's not always sexism. I mean, there not all sexist, not all Bernie bros. Hashtag not all Bernie bros.
Yeah, that's not really all. There's some. I met some good Sanders supporters at the DNC. Like. They followed the lead of the more radical people because they were interested in the left. You know, they actually wanted to get involved. But, like, they had that route through electoral politics, through Bernie Sanders, like, redirecting them into that route. You know, those are the people I want to talk to, the Sandernistas, like, the militant Sanders supporters. I like those crowds.
I feel like there's this, like, have you ever, like, been on a psychedelic?
Yeah.
And, like, felt like you were, like, this, like, powerful, like, creature of the flowers.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. You go into the best place to do it is Prospect Park.
I did it in Central, but you know, this thing where you, like, you feel like you're, like, watching. I feel like a lot of these, like, Bernie bro types or these, like, martyr themselves types, like, view themselves as these, like, lone anarchists in the wind. Do you know what I'm talking about? Look at all these people behaving violently, and I'm the only true, non-violent, true collectivist. I feel like I have a side of that. I feel like a lot of activists have a side of
this. Yeah, it's moralism. People impose their moral beliefs onto other situations, and not everybody has the same moral code, and not all morals are the same. And it's like, you got to put yourself in other people's shoes. You got to respect other people's perspectives in terms of, like, why do they believe what they believe? What's their background? Where'd they come from? You know? What traumatic experiences have they had? What, like, privileged experiences have they had?
I was raised, you know, like, in a Protestant church, and we taught nonviolence, and that's the only thing I take with me, man.
Well, fuck that church. Like, I'm just saying, like, there's people who've been resisting for years, you know, whether it be the Maroons, the free blacks and ex-slaves who escaped slavery and set up their own, like, communes in the outskirts of, like, the enslaved South, you know, pirates, like.
So let's talk about that for a minute. We were talking about spaces and how all these spaces keep getting taken away and how we got, like, these Proud Boy assholes.
Yeah, so basically, like, there's this activist space called Decolonize This Place, which was a part of, like, an artist project for the artist space on Walker Street in Tribeca. And, it was only a 3-month residency, and they had this end-of-the-year party, and this group of, like, anti-feminist, anti-gay, white supremacist types.
Who has a woman in it.
Yeah.
Let's just, like, be clear about how crazy, like, she's like, okay, like, so let's, so by the way, you can find these people.
They're called the Proud Boys.
They're probably going to try to go after me now, but whatever. Like, I'm going to
They'll call into the show and harass you and do all this shit.
They will. Good, they should.
Yeah.
They fucking, like, have, like, a Reddit page where you can find out where they live, like, Proud Boys all over the country. So you can find out. Well, I think one of them, like, lives near here. And, like, oh, my God, what a crazy fuck. So, yeah, they have, like, a girl. So, like, I had this girl, Darcy, on a little while ago. And we were talking about how there's, like, a Wendy. Like, the Wendy is, like, the girl, like, the one girl who gets to be part of the boys' club. So they think they've, like, reached power, but, like, they haven't because they are shitty to other women. You know,
she's the Wendy.
She's the Wendy. It's like, and they all, like, they probably, like, mother her and make her do, like, all the cooking and shit. She's like, yeah, that's just my. I thought about that at one point, yo. At one point, everybody's got a Wendy phase. It's okay. Like, I feel like when this is all over, maybe she's gonna be the only one who's forgivable.
Yeah, probably. Seriously.
Where she's like, the patriarchy took over my mind.
I don't know why it's called the Proud Boys. It's, like, for men, and they do have a woman, and it's ridiculous. Anyway, like, they attacked us outside this party when we were just trying to get food. I got punched in the face. My other friends got injured a lot more seriously than me, but, like, we made it out of it. It was just, like, really weird. We got attacked by, like, crazy Trump supporters, like
the Proud Boys, like, the fucking.
It's like a fucking gang of. It's just weird. It's like a political gang. It doesn't make any sense. Like, they haven't had political gangs in this city since, like, the 19th century. Like, I'm waiting for that shit to come back.
This is gonna be scary, yo.
Make NYC Gotham again, like.
Oh my god, but they probably think of themselves as like some Batman type
Yeah,
shit.
Seriously.
Like, check my gadget on my iPhone, man, because I'm the best capitalist around, man. But you know, there's all into Joker that shit, those guys. You know, they're all into like that natural selection, like, this is evolution, man. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, these like people who use like hierarchical like academics to like make themselves feel like these like guys who like went totally like fuck Ayn Rand.
Yeah, it's just they use fucking academics to make themselves sound smart when they're actually complete dumbasses.
And they're kind of a lot like Bernie Bros in like a weird way.
Yeah.
It's like very weird.
It's a different type of, it's hyper-masculine.
You hear that,
bullshit.
Proud Boys?
Like,
I think you're the same as Bernie Bros, bitch.
Yeah.
You ain't no different. And hey, Wendy, girl.
Because you're all fucking
hey,
men.
Hey, Wendy, girl. I love you, Wendy. It's okay, Wendy. I know what it's like. At some point, I went on Reddit and tried to talk about to the MRAs about feminism, and I let them brainwash me for a short time. I was like, well, is, like, feminism really equal, or is it just, like, echoing exactly the other side? But I didn't realize there was this little thing, honey. It's called power dynamics.
Mm.
Yeah, and I figured that out after I left my little sheltered existence where I was in a lefty bubble. And you could call New York a lefty bubble, but it's not because you're here. So, you know what I'm talking about? Like, people always want to talk about how New York is, like, a lefty, like, bubble. It is more than you. You know why it's a bubble? You want to know why New York's a bubble? Because there are people of all kinds here.
Yeah.
And that's why I am not a proud boy. Because capitalism only allows people like the types in Proud Boy to succeed in a certain kind of way. Fuck your, like, one definition of what success is. Success is not defined by who has the most money or who has the... But it's not defined by that. But what I'm talking about is, but you guys get, those kind of people, like, get to survive in such, like, a privileged fucking little way that it's like, I am not a proud boy because I know there are other people who don't have the allowance to live like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
No. It's like, people that become proud boys are, like, fratty types, you know, cops, like, people who are in those circles. Who, like, they love their manliness and their masculinity so much that they feel like just the thought of a Hillary Clinton getting office would make them be so much more aggressive and abusive outwardly toward people. It's just, like, it's ridiculous. Like, they're afraid of losing their penises. That's really what's going on.
I mean,
let's
not talk like that, because there's a lot of, like, feminine people who have penises.
No, I mean, metaphor. It was a metaphor.
I don't like that metaphor.
Yeah, sorry.
That's cis feminine.
Yeah,
it is. Sorry, I had to bring it up.
Basically, no, they're men that are afraid that, like, let's talk about queerness. Like, they are afraid that, like, the gays will convert me to whatever. Like, that's really where it comes from. It's that type of, like, masculine fear that they're afraid. Think about it. Think about all the anti-homophobes, the big pastors, like, you know, Ted Haggard. He got, you know, he was gay. All the big anti-homophobic pastors are secretly gay.
Yo, I think
and
that
that's
Pence
all
is
back
so
to,
gay.
Like, a masculinity
That's kind
fear.
Of why I hope that Donald Trump gets impeached in his Mike Pence, because he's fucked up and, like, crazy. But here's the thing. I think Mike Pence is too, like, wrapped up in being a closet homosexual to, like...
Yeah, no, that's exactly... Mike Pence is probably gay. Like, that's probably...
When Mike Pence comes out of the closet and Michelle Alexander is president, everything's gonna be
great. Yeah, that's what everything will be... That's how you save the world.
But not really, though.
Actually,
so I feel like
yeah.
we're talking about who sucks. I want to talk about...
I want to talk about spaces. I was talking about the spaces.
Yeah, and I started talking shit about Proud Boys.
Yeah,
like,
we got off topic.
Come at me, bro!
The point is, we lost that space. Decolonize this place no longer has a space, and they're trying to find a new one. And, like, we got Mayday Space, and we got the base, both based out of Bushwick.
Keep talking.
But, like, there's no real, like... artist space or organizing spaces left in the city that are affordable that, like, our activist groups can actually, like, use and, like, host meetings and art exhibits and just, like, poetry slams and just all the cultural aspects of it. We need those physical spaces back, so...
Well, maybe the Mayday, like, space will be good. You could do a lot of that space.
Yeah, no, it's part of gentrification. Like, this is what happened. Like, now even, like, the very spaces activists were using to organize out of are disappearing. So, like, gentrification is hitting, like, full throttle at this point. Like,
yeah, it's really heavy. Yeah, so I was talking about I'm trying to buy this school bus. And like I want to like run like some weird little business where I like throw parties and open mics on there, but also have it be like a traveling activist space where like there are events there that are like by donation and like discussion. It would have to be like under 10 people at a time, probably. It's not that big, but like to have 10 people for a meeting, like that's pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? Like have it, and then you can always move it, and you can find a space where people can meet up outside of it and just like kind of that be the base.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But then the problem we were talking about is there's no space to like store something like that in the city, and it'd be very hard to find something affordable to do that. So that's like my little dream, but it is hard to have like an alternative space in the city that isn't super expensive and therefore super like classist and like hard to be actually inclusive.
Yeah.
Or have actual marginalized people being included.
Yeah, it's hard to get it's hard to get everyday people involved in this stuff. And like the activists and organizers and all these people, like it's very white. And even the people of color that are involved are investing most of their time into this, trying to like everyday people who aren't we need to reach people who aren't political or aren't like that type of thing.
Yeah, and how do we do that?
We need to build a culture, like an alternative culture, and like that's what I kind of want to do with media in terms of just, like, everything you see in the news is just bullshit these days. Like, seriously. Like, they're talking about Russia hacking the election. And it's like, that's the fakest news. If any fucking expert...
You don't think the Russians hacked the election?
Nah. You read Glenn Greenwald on The Intercept. It's bullshit. They don't have... Why would Russia hack the U.S. election? Like, they're more concerned about Crimea. They're more concerned about Chechnya. Like... What ended up happening is that the Democrats ran a really flawed candidate based off corporate money shit, and they didn't have an alternative to Trump's fascism. They should have countered the fascism with socialism, but like...
If Bernie probably could have won.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bernie probably would have won if he went up against Trump. I'm not saying anything definite, but like, again, Trump...
A lot of people voted for Trump did like Bernie to a degree, but they would have thought about voting for Bernie.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about it. But no, it was two horrible choices and the worst one won. Like the worst of two evils won, and that's what happened. Like, so yeah, there's all this fake news out there. People are uninformed, and I want people to be more informed so they can make good decisions.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I think that's true. I mean, I like to think that's part of it too. It's kind of nice to think the Russians hacked the election, but then we don't have to think about the reality of it all.
Yeah, no, it's an escape. It's basically like, oh, like Trump wasn't like democratically elected by a popular will of the country.
This is what happens, yo. Like, who gives a fuck about the fake news around the election? Regardless, Trump won the fucking election. So now we have to figure out what the fuck to do.
So here's what we have to talk about.
Like, so we're talking about it. We keep falling back in this little puddle. This is neither of us. I'm yelling, but I'm not really mad at you. Yeah, it's just fucking like,
it's just,
we keep
this,
falling
these
back
are the
into
things
this
that
bullshit.
Everybody talks about. So I want to build, I want spaces and communities that can actually resist Trump, both like in a real sense and in a cultural sense.
So let's talk for real. One of the big issues is healthcare right now. How the fuck do you think we're gonna get like all these people who have no healthcare and try to build outside the system that way? What do we do?
All the nurses, doctors, medics, EMTs, they need to start doing skill sharing with other people. So people actually know how to take care of their own bodies, how medicine actually works, how to treat an injury. You know, that's the whole idea, is like if you share skills amongst each other, then you can survive collectively. It's sustainable. You know,
so Skillshare,
everybody can support each other that
community
way.
Community gardens, roof gardens.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to build sustainability in the city, you got to build actual physical gardens. You got to rip up concrete, plant shit, get a empty lot and start doing guerrilla gardening. Like,
you know how you know the government's a sham? This is what I was thinking about last night. I was just like, why? We need jobs. Why the fuck does the government not create, like, if we were going to have a government? Like, I know it's going to be flawed, but like, if we were really going to do it, I think that if we have like a true, like, people owned, like, decision making thing, like consensus or something. Like, you said you don't like consensus. I'm going to hear about that in a minute.
Yeah, I don't like consensus.
But like, okay, but I want to hear what you think the alternative is. But what I was thinking is, like, why the hell are there not like a bunch of jobs that are just fucking maintained, like roof gardens or like community gardens, and then helping to organize that food? Can you imagine, like, if every roof in this neighborhood had, or in every neighborhood had food growing, like, people would not need as much money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They could just have the food.
Yeah,
and
you don't need...
We wouldn't even need money.
You wouldn't need money. You wouldn't need money to buy... You wouldn't need grocery stores at that point. Like...
Well, you need meat. For processing kind of things, like for flour and all that. And some things you can't grow up here.
But, yeah, if you get all your vegetables from just a lot.
If we could make it that we did not need to buy produce at grocery stores, that's a way to move away from capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I want to hear what do you think the alternative to consensus is?
Okay, consensus is a problem because although it's theoretically it's based off everyone is giving input and making the decision collectively, that's not how it works in reality.
But actually, let me say what consensus is. Consensus is like sort of like a system where somebody like brings up a proposal and then everyone has to agree on what the proposal is, and or they could stand aside or they edit until everyone can like consent to it, or somebody might block it if they really think. You're not supposed to really block. You're only supposed to block if you cannot compromise it down. And if you can also like stand aside if you want to let everybody just has to consent to let it pass. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and the problem with that is that based in reality, like that's sounds good on paper, but based in reality, people bring their baggage with them. People bring their patriarchal, heteronormative, racist, sexist bullshit with them. So people with dominant voices who are used to talking and taking up space, mainly white men.
Bernie Bros. Ron Paul, Proud Boys.
Basically, yeah, Ron Paul, Proud Boys, all the people that came out of Occupy. But yeah, side note, Proud Boys did come out of Occupy. One of their members was a member of Occupy Wall Street.
So did he, like, reform himself or some shit?
Nah, basically he became really sexist and horrible.
He was like, all these women at Occupy.
Yeah,
all
there's
these
too
women,
many
women,
women at Occupy.
They didn't touch my dick. They were only fucking the guys with dreadlocks, man.
I know, yeah, that's really probably where it comes from. Anyway... yeah, if you have Bernie Bros come into the space and be like, oh, I have a decision. Oh, it's like there are people who are natural leaders who end up taking up space and dominating the conversation. So everyone then has to make a consensus decision around this white man's stupid ass idea. Rather, the alternative is to just have different like affinity groups of people you work with. And like basically the people you want to build projects with do things that you want to accomplish. Say like, you and your friends want to go build a garden. You find the people who want to go build a gorilla garden, and you go do it. You find people who are interested in media.
How do you
work.
Make decisions within that group?
It's a natural talking process of just the people who have experiences and skills share those experiences to educate people who aren't as well.
But don't you think that would fall into some sort of consensus kind of thing?
Yeah, it is. I don't believe, sorry, I got to clarify. I don't believe in general assemblies. I think general assemblies are really bad.
Oh, you mean like big, giant
consensus? Yeah, big, giant
consensus. Oh, no. I agree with that. I agree with that. So what I think would happen is like, what you have to do is like, I think what happens is, like, since this group, like, this affinity... Say there was an affinity group that you're calling that, like, started this gorilla garden. Mm-hmm. And they have decided that they're going to go and work with another group that does, let's say, like, a food kitchen, like a kitchen thing. Like, and so they're going to use their produce at this kitchen thing.
Yeah.
So now they form some sort of, like, organization together. And they want to meet up. And then maybe there's another group over it. So then I think what would happen is these... like smaller affinity groups would have to, it's sort of like an anarcho-syndicalism kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have to pick some kind of representative from theirs, but they would have to decide by consensus who that was going to be. Like if someone was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. The group itself decides
a representative, and then those representatives meet up. And I think anybody could be there, but it's known to like let that person kind of do the negotiating.
Yeah.
So do you know what I mean?
To have true consensus, everybody has to be on the same page, and to be on the same page, you all have to share your experiences. Your skills, what brought you to where you are at the point in your life today. That's what you have to understand. So you understand people on a real personal human level, then you can understand how people relate to each other. It's easier to come to consensus when everybody knows each other. The problem with Occupy is that a bunch of strangers came into a space really fast, fucked around, did a lot of drugs, went on fucking marches and shit, and, you know, they didn't really... Community is not built just through struggle alone. It's built through actually understanding other people's like trauma, abuse, oppression, like what people actually lived in their life to get where they are. Because that's why people are doing this stuff anyway. Like,
have to people have to begin to understand trauma and abuse.
We're all victims of patriarchy, capitalism, and white supremacy. Like, that's what we're,
And Christian Judeo, just Christian Judeo harmful philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. I put the patriarchal shit is really tied to the Christian bullshit in this country.
So let's take a little break here and play something kind of funny and see if I have any of this stuff. I think I played some of this stuff before, but I'm going to play this track called The War on Men that I think is really funny.
Yes, perfect.
And I'm going to let you laugh at it if you want. This is a, actually I'm going to turn off our mics for it. I'm going to play this thing. It's almost like a Proud Boy kind of thing. Here we go.
Welcome to the free thinker of Shiva's cloud. My name is Siddhartha G. Omniverse. I'm just one of the many opinions on Tuuk Edelo's What Would Save the World. And today, I'm going to tell you a tale. I inhaled the sacred herb and I walked down the path to Nirvana. To Nirvana's couch, where Shiva sits, holding the number 23 in the crevice of each of his many hands. And I asked him if the reptilian overlords were real. He handed me a triangle, and I knew it represented the destroyed concept of masculinity in our mad, imbalanced, over-emotional, and sensitive world. There is a war on men, said Shiva, the destroyer. We looked into each other's third eyes, and without a single spoken word, from the core of our pineal glands, projected the vibration that said, let's destroy that war on men. This has been the free thinker of Shiva's cloud. My name is Siddhartha G. Omniverse. Thank you for listening. Now to return to that feminist bullshit that is What Would Save the World. Not that show.
Yeah, so that's the free thinker on Shiva's cloud. I think I played that on episodes before, possibly that, wanting to make more of those. That's sort of like, so it's kind of like those like guys who use like Eastern philosophy and like alternative thinking to make themselves more dominant, or what they find their like weird, but it's sort of like take like anarchism to find like hyper masculinity.
Yeah, they use Eastern philosophies to justify being an abusive piece of shit, or like just overly extending their masculinity. It all comes down to masculinity
again. And I feel like I didn't make this clear either. The term feminist is spelled F-A-U-X, minist, like feminist, like feminist, like a faux feminist.
Faux feminist.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good if I say that. So he's like, I did that feminist shit.
Yeah, no, and it's all about, and they emphasize the fact that they are feminists. The male feminists who be like, even identify as a male feminist to be like, oh, I am a man and I am a feminist. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
I'm a man.
Like, shut up.
And
it's just, an excuse for them to try to get laid. That's really what they think in their minds, is that they're using feminism to lure women into whatever fucking stupid masculine bullshit they have in mind. Like,
oh, so before we get too off track, I want to talk about some of these events that are going on at these spaces. I went to the Mayday space this past, I believe it was Saturday. Yes, it was Saturday. They had this great event. It was like what to do. It was like the Trump, like a Trump world, like workshops, like how to survive kind
how
of.
How to
like,
survive Trump.
How to survive like, Trump. So they have a bunch of cool stuff. So the base, they're going to have, today is Wednesday, January 18th, they have at 11 a.m. at Mayday, the Exquisite Corpse Company. I don't know what that is. They have Hold Purim. They have Renegade Reading Stories. Oh, here's more details. Let me read you some of these details. I don't know. There's not a lot of details on what this is, but what I'm gonna okay because I had this fucking zine they gave me with all this stuff, but they got like International Human Rights Program on Monday, January 23rd at 8:30 a.m. They have like they're not public events. What the fuck? Their public events are on Facebook. All right, this is confusing me right now.
Yeah.
You're on the website. Here. Yeah, I am. And all this stuff is not up to date. Okay, it doesn't even matter. Just go to maydayspace.com, I think it is. Is that what it is? Go to maydayspace.org, and you'll find out more information about
Mayday
the space.
Space. And then they're also on Facebook at maydayspace.
Let's move on.
Anyway, there's a lot of interesting events there. We did our group, Hoods for Justice, did an event there led by Michael Basilis. And that was a talk about how nonviolence rhetoric divides everybody. And it's kind of within the same vein of the Bernie bro thing of like sometimes the Bernie bros believe in like a diversity of tactics, but most of the time they're part of that like liberal pacifist, like, oh, let's keep the peace, let's not make a stir. We can't use quote-unquote violent rhetoric. Like,
yeah, and that's like Michael Basilis was like talking a little bit about how in some ways like that's like prioritizing tactics over goals, right?
Yeah.
That was what you're saying, like you should prioritize goals over tactics. Like sometimes like complete nonviolent rhetoric is not going to help your goal. Like, for example, like talking about how like if I am on the train and a guy messes with me, like, honestly, I don't know. I don't have any self-defense tactics as, like, a woman. Because I've been told, like, to not be violent. Don't be violent. And I think, like, tons of different kinds of people experience this. Where they, like, and if they do defend, they get, it's like a victim-blaming thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like in Black Lives Matter, like, if the protesters defend themselves to the cops, it's like, oh, those protesters got violent with the police. But if the cop, like, shoots somebody for, like, no reason, like, it was self-defense.
Yeah, exactly. The level of harm is completely off. Obviously, the officers shooting and killing an unarmed person is a lot worse than anything a protester fucking does at a protest. Like, even if they hurl projectiles or whatever, that's still nothing compared to shooting an unarmed black man dead in the street. Like,
People get really nervous with this novel, and it was really funny because the whole workshop Michael's like talking about and Michael and the other who's the other person who did it with him.
That was Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
He was cool too. I just know Michael better, so I would say Michael. But he was like talking about like how like a lot of marginalized groups don't feel comfortable working in spaces that are run by white people who like force this nonviolent rhetoric to the point where it kind of can be like abusive to a point. It sounds like, or that's how I took that. He wasn't right. So yeah, it sounded like where it can be like very dismissive. And then this old white guy like started freaking out about it. It makes a lot of people very nervous, this like nonviolent thing and this like pacifism linked with nonviolence. Because some people, like a lot of like these older people, I think it's also usually older people are read into this, who are actually are like a fan of pacifism. I believe like Noam Chomsky identifies as a pacifist.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of like this weird thing where like they think they're being extremely peaceful, but it's also like, don't you understand? We don't have time for that. That the ones that like have the choice to sit out if they wanted to. Like if Noam Chomsky didn't want to write about what he's writing about, he didn't want to like talk about that stuff. He doesn't have to because he's like an old white man.
It's all based off moralism and like it's just academic moralism where they're trying to play the moral high ground. But look, our enemy, Trump and the alt-right, the fascists, they have no morals and they
have a weird set of morals that I don't agree are morals.
Yeah, they've already attacked us and continue to attack us. The system already attacks us and oppresses us on a daily basis. Like, you know, patriarchal society like marginalizes and attacks women on a daily basis. Like, what are we doing in the here and now to defend against that? That's where we're coming at. It's not really, it wasn't really like a nonviolence versus violence debate. It was more like nonviolence is not the only end all be all solution, and everybody has to be a pacifist. Like, that's the ideology that happens at these fucking protests with these Bernie bros. Like,
everybody has to be like me. I don't agree with that at all. But I get like that sometimes.
No. Yeah,
but like, I get pissy with these Bernie bros. And I'm like, fuck off, bitch. You don't know what it's like to have a uterus.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, It's basically people who only have a narrow set of experiences because of their identity. You know, if you're just a white cis man, like, you're gonna say some stupid white cis shit. Like, that's really what it comes from.
Isn't that racist too, man? Here, so let's read this thing. Can you read my handwriting at all? Tell me if you can read this. Don't read it, but tell me if you can actually read it. And can you tell when it's yours and when it's mine?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try it. I wrote this, like, weird little script thing that's, like, sort of, like, let's just call it, this is a little play I wrote called The Opposite Side. You're going to have to infer everything about it. It's called The Opposite Side. Yeah, I'm just hesitant to say what I really think.
Be honest.
I've been afraid to leave my house since it happened.
Oh, yeah? Well, me too.
It's just those people.
People?
People are fucking stupid.
People?
Ugh, you sound like one of those people.
You're one of those people.
Here's a tip for the radio. What would save your radio show? Always have your page ready. Okay, so he just said, you're one of those people. And I'm going to say, don't you understand reality?
Your reality is full of propaganda.
Now that's just ignorant.
No name calling.
I did not call you ignorant. I said that's ignorant.
You're being one of those people.
Just accept you're one of those people, and then you won't be like those people anymore.
You're being hypocritical.
You're a hypocrite. So yeah, that play was called The Opposite Side. I wrote that in like 5 minutes. And I feel like that show really, that play really reflects
seriously
what we've done.
That sums up every political argument in any space ever about anything.
What's wrong with us?
Seriously, people, all these debates we have amongst each other are just academic bullshit. And like, we're all talking about the same thing, whether you call it anarchy, communism, the new hippie movement, fucking around, like, being who you want to be. Like, it's all the same thing. We're just trying to build an alternative system
when
or something.
When you wake up in the morning, you will find that polyamory and monogamy, individualism, and collectivism are the same. I just made that up off the top of my head.
Yeah, but that's correct. Like that's exactly the point. Is like, you know, so many people who want to like say that they're polyamorous for being polyamorous relationships.
Polyglamorous.
Yeah, it's more of like no, they're actually mono and they don't even realize it because they've never had the experience of actually having to be with like take care of multiple partners at the same time in terms of all the emotional needs, whatever needs. If you're living with one person or two people or a bunch of people.
I think it can be very...
It all depends on it.
So I want to be careful about being like... Yeah. No, I don't actually think polyamory and monogamy are the same. That just kind of came out as a metaphor for individuals.
They're not the same.
No, but I just want to make it clear, though, that like there are so many different ways to conduct your relationships and that's like totally up to you. As long as like you feel like it's wholly consensual and you're respecting each other's... You know, if everybody feels comfortable with what's happening, then that's fine. Like, I'm polyamorous. My partner, primary, doesn't really want to sleep with other people. I tell them they absolutely, like, I'm open to them doing that if they want to, but they just don't want to. And I occasionally date other people, and, like, that's just the way, then that's polyamory to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, I'm allowed to date whoever I want, and so are they. And if we don't, that's fine, but are we monogamous? But what makes something monogamous? Is it just that, like... You've made an agreement that you're only going to sleep with each other. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's wrong that that is expected or like you can be shamed if you don't make that decision. That's the problem.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of societal pressure that people bring into their personal relationships. It even like starts there, really. Is like you think that there's just supposed to be an Adam and Eve or like an Adam and Steve or like any of that, like just two pairings. And that's like
Adam and Steve, Eve and Lilith. And
yeah, everyone forgets about Lilith.
And they
Lilith fucks shit up in that.
I'm Lilith, yeah.
Yeah. No, all the Christians never want to talk about Lilith.
Lilith was their little Jew. Lilith is like the Jewish mother that it ever was in the Bible. I love it. I feel like Lilith is like an intense Jewish mother because like she like was like, nah, I want it to be this way. Nah, my Chinese tin is going to go on top of that shelf, not over there. I was talking about this with my roommates the other day and it's like so random. Just like how my mother always like loved buying Chinese tins. I feel like my mother is the kind of person who like did acid like once. But then it was like a Jewish mother.
Yeah.
So she's got like mildly trippier, like fucking like Asian art.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's really silly. I don't know. If you don't understand what Jewish mothers are like, don't worry about it. So we got 10 minutes left on this show. Do you got anything specific you want to share, Peter? Because I want to sing a little song.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, and the Women's March this weekend.
Yeah, there's inauguration protests. You can go to disruptj20.org to look at that. You can...
Oh, I have that up, actually.
Yeah. There's a bunch of events going on.
They're going to be at McPherson Square. That's going to be where I was at Occupy. Oh, fuck. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so there's going to be January 20th, 2017, McPherson Square, 9 a.m. all day, a mobilization against the inauguration of Donald Trump. There's going to be a lot of shit going on there. Uh-huh. There's other events going on. So just, I would say just go to disruptj20.com. Because we're going to...
.org.
Fucking A, these fucking commercials. Okay, they got a queer dance party at Mike Pence's house. Of January 18th. When is that? That's we won't be there for that probably.
Yeah.
But that sounds awesome. There's a climate change conference. There's gonna be on January 19th. I'm going in that day. Like I probably won't get there. There's gonna be protest the fascist all right deplorables on January 19th. Then on the 20th there's gonna be the January 20th thing, the Festival of Resistance March Against Trump, anti-capitalism and anti-fascist bloc on January 20th, and then there's gonna be the Occupy inauguration. And then there's going to be the stand against Trump. And then it's all just like no Trump.
Yeah,
shit.
And then on Saturday is the Women's March.
Which, is organized by some questionable shit. But, there's going to be so many different people there.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest march probably at the protest. So.
And there's a chance I'll be performing on some shows down there. But I will keep that up to date on my Twitter. My Twitter is the number 2KEDALOW. My name's Tuke Edalo. Also, I should add, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can listen to lots of cool radio shows on here. We're 24 hours a day, radiofreebrooklyn.com. And if you like us, we are completely community run, internet free forum. I can say fuck on the radio, I can say whatever I want. If you like that we're keeping that free speech going on, actual free speech, like literally, like I would have a Trump supporter on here even if I didn't agree with him. Maybe I would shut him down a little bit, but he'd be able to talk. So it's free. If you like that if people like me who are like lefter than Bernie and Peter Solar, thank you so much for being on the show.
This was awesome.
If you like us, you can donate to us at patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn. You can throw us $1, throw us $10, whatever you want to do. Fuck money. But I'm going to advocate that if you don't pay taxes, if you're worried about certain things, I don't know, do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. However, but if you have the money or if you want to say fuck your taxes, I say donate to Radio for Brooklyn and Planned Parenthood and all these organizations that are going to be building outside the system. I mean, I don't know. I feel weird about advocating not paying taxes because I feel like that could put a lot of people in danger, and I don't feel like everybody has the option to do that.
If you have the means to survive by not doing that, then help. Don't
but
fucking
it's,
pay.
It's also weird because I wouldn't mind throwing in money to like fill a fucking pothole. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
obviously.
But there's a lot of shit I don't mind funding. If we were gonna have like really good health coverage for everybody, would I be really pissed off about throwing money into that? No, I wouldn't.
I would like to have that on the table first.
What is it going to be? Like, I want, like, very clear, like, yeah, it's fucked up. But either way, donate to Radio for Brooklyn if you can afford it. Donate to Planned Parenthood if you can afford it. Donate to all these wonderful things. Donate to some of these things that are helping people in Syria right now. Let's not forget that American politics, we're all privileged little fuck asses, like, all of us. Like, yes, like, there are people who, I am way more privileged than a lot of people in this country, and I acknowledge that. But, like, yo, like, we're not in Syria. So, like, for real, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and in the next couple days...
Things are bad here, but it's not serious.
Yeah, and if you want to, in the next couple days, I had an episode with Patrick Hillsman, who has another show in here called The Apocalypse. He's sort of, like, the antithesis to my show. He's actually really cool. He's, like, an independent journalist. He's, like, been to Syria. He was on the show with this person, Benny Arangazi, I think her name is. They're both independent reporters, journalists. Their episode where they talked a little about Syria is going to be on... myaudioboom.com/whatwouldsavetheworld. If you want to be on the show, email me at Tuke, that's spelled T-O-O-K, Tuke@radiofreebrooklyn.com. I will literally take anybody on this show, even if I, like I said, like I want to create a space where anybody can talk, even if you're not political, like even if you're just doing something you think is helping the world, please come on my show. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you, Peter, for being here. I'm going to sing a weird little song to end this show. I also hope to see you at the Women's March. I hope to see you at all these events. I hope to see you at events at the base. I hope to see you at events at Mayday Space. I hope to see you being radical as fuck. All right, so I'm going to sing a song that's kind of mean, but it's called Libertarians Eat Liberty for Breakfast. All right, here we go. Libertarian only means what it means in the USA. If you go overseas, you'll find a different play. You won't see raving hopscotch sketching little boys drawing boxes on the street, making it look so neat, writing the R word. Rationality, rationality. But who keeps the rations, man? Who gives it to us in a can? Who writes liberty on the milk carton? Starting to think your free market ain't free. Calling it milk, but you can taste the piss. Thought that it would be bliss, man. Thought that it would be bliss, man. Libertarians. Libertarians eat liberty for breakfast. Swallow in the words of peace. Let it simmer, let it rot, without letting it have the chance to grow all the flowers it can give life powers to. That's a reference to composting, by the way. Libertarians. Libertarians eat liberty for breakfast. Yes, you are just a boy, never taught beyond your toy. The world is yours to hold. Why give power to one not so bold? You know what makes a person old? Being scorned and being scolded. I know you see the pain we hold. It's written deep in your soul. You scream through your greed as we plead and plead and plead. Libertarians. Libertarian only means what it means in the USA. Libertarians eat liberty for breakfast, but only in the USA. Libertarians live free, but not here today. Isn't that a really silly
song?
That was
great.
You like that?
I loved it.
All right. That's going to be on my album, bro. Nah, actually, I've been starting to do music. I call my project is called Stonewall Street.
Stonewall Street?
Do you get it? Like Stonewall Street, but also
Stonewall Street.
Stonewall Street.
That's perfect. Stonewall Street.
Creating the new media. Also, okay, so we have like another coming. Peter, why don't you talk about the zine you're making and where people are going to be able to find it.
Okay, Hoods for Justice is making a zine about the talk that was given on Saturday called Nonviolence Rhetoric Divides Us All. It's about 14 pages long. It just explains everything we talked about today in a lot more detail. And it's going to be released off the Hoods for Justice Facebook page. That's Hoods 4 Justice.
What's Hoods for Justice? We have like a minute. We have 13 seconds.
Hoods for Justice is basically like an anarchist group for organizing people of color for like real tangible resistance against the Trump regime.
Yes, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. So thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio for Brooklyn. Catch me here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Next up is going to be Brooklyn Bandstand, like it usually is on Wednesdays. If you're listening on Wednesday, if you're listening to the repeat, I don't know what's coming on next. I am just killing time right now. I thought I was going to end soon. We have like 20 seconds. Oh my God. Fuck the Bernie Bros, but love everybody. Really, like love. Yeah, love. But like, you're fucking nonviolent renegade. Fucking nonviolent renegade. And actually learn to exist with no leaders. Fucking confront the shit fact that you're an abusive fuck and that you have post-traumatic stress disorder probably.
Ooh,
confront your fact
shit.
That you have trauma and you have abuse. Confront that, man, and only then will we win.